Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.
All right, Fried fam. Today we are jumping into what the heck is emotional intelligence anyway? Because I was on a virtual session with one of my favorite companies recently, and we were talking about boundaries, the biology of belonging, and emotional intelligence. And someone had the courage to speak up and say, listen, we say the words emotional intelligence and use the shortened version EQ all the time, but can you tell me what it actually is? What is emotional intelligence? What does that mean? And if I'm honest, I stumbled through the answer a little bit. Now, I have been teaching emotions through the lens of Chinese medicine since 2008. I have spent a lot of my life reading and learning things like emotional intelligence, and I did not have a succinct answer to give her. So I stumbled through the answer, and as I was doing it, I thought, this would make a really great podcast episode because she is not the only leader out there who has gotten a list of leadership competencies that she needs to have in order to succeed and be promoted that listed emotional intelligence as one of the things she needed to have with no further explanation. And she didn't really know what it was. So if you're one of those people who's like, yeah, we talk about that, but I don't really know exactly what it means, today we're going to talk that through together. The first thing that I want you to know about emotional intelligence is that the person who made it popular wasn't the person who coined the term. So the term emotional intelligence was coined by two psychologists, Peter Salovey and John Mayer, back in 1990, in an academic paper most people have never heard of and will never read. They define the core idea of emotional intelligence as the ability to check and manage feelings in ourselves and other people. So they define emotional intelligence as the ability to check and manage feelings in ourselves and other people. So that was 1990. 5 years later, the author Daniel Goleman took this and made it famous with a book titled, you guessed it, Emotional Intelligence. In this 1995 book, he factored five elements into emotional intelligence, and then 7 years later in 2002, he broke that down to just four elements, four domains, four traits. Today, I'm going to walk you through what the four traits of emotional intelligence are, what the four domains are. And I want you to know that in each of these domains, there are trainable skills to support them. Emotional intelligence is not something that you're born with or not born with. So whether you think you are highly emotional intelligent or not highly emotional intelligent, it doesn't actually matter because each portion of the emotional intelligence equation is based on learnable skills that anyone can learn. So as long as you know where your skill gaps are, well, you can fill them. All right, are we ready? So Goldman says that there are four domains to emotional intelligence and they build on each other in order. So we have a base first and then everything else gets built on top of it. The first domain he titles self-awareness. And that is simply understanding and being able to interpret your own internal emotional state. In a little bit, I'm going to talk about why this is actually the thing that most of us need to be spending the most time on. the skill that almost all of us need to be building more than any of the other leadership skills, because most of us are really sucking at this. The second domain after self-awareness, so once you understand your own emotional state, once you've done the self-awareness part, the self-management portion is about controlling your impulses and driving yourself forward instead of being hijacked by your emotions. So you choose consciously what happens next, what your reaction or response will be. You create pauses in between situations in your reaction so that you can manage how you're going to show up at any given moment in time. You start to be able to clearly answer the questions, how do I want to show up for other people? Who do I want to be in this world? How do I want to be represented and remembered? So the self-management portion is just about giving yourself the space between what's happening and your reaction to it so that you can make an intentional choice about how you want to show up in the world. Domain number one, self-awareness. Domain number two, self-management. Now we roll right into domain number three, which is social awareness. Now, social awareness is your ability to read people, read rooms, and read organizational dynamics. My new book, Mismatch, will help you build this ability to assess organizational dynamics really quickly. So keep your ears peeled for book launch info. We are currently aiming for October, but if we don't make it, it'll be out in early 2027. So we have self-awareness, self-management, and social awareness. So those first two are all about you. Awareness of your own emotions, management of your own emotions and reactions, and then awareness of social emotions, connections, interactions. And then the last one is relationship management. So we have self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, relationship management. Relationship management is your ability to guide, influence, and de-escalate other people. So this is about maintaining your own sense of calm when things are kind of getting wild. If someone else is hyper-reactive in any way, shape, or form, you can remain steady so that they can come down to meet you at your emotional level instead of you going up to meet them. This, in essence, for those of you who are saying, well, this is co-regulation. Yes, this is about nervous system co-regulation at its very core. And there are a ton of easy skills that you can implement to get better at this. So that's the entire architecture of emotional intelligence. I'm going to start again with the definition and then go through the four domains just so that you can remember them easily. Emotional intelligence is the ability to check and manage feelings in ourselves and other people. This consists of four domains: noticing yourself, managing yourself, noticing others, managing others. If you don't remember anything else from this episode, that's what I want you to remember. Notice yourself, manage yourself, notice others, manage others. Now, each of the four domains have the skills that you can build within them. If you want me to do a deep dive on that, shoot me an email at kate@katedonovan.com and I will do a separate episode diving into those skills. There are 12 skills that fill the four domains, so that would make for a real long episode for right now. But if you are interested in that, let me know and I will absolutely go through them. But today, before I wrap up, there's just one other thing that I want to talk about. I alluded to this earlier. A lot of us are getting this part wrong, and I want to slow down on it so we can spend a minute here. The thing that most of us are getting wrong is self-awareness. There is an organizational psychologist named Dr. Tasha Urich, and she did a deep dive on self-awareness specifically. And her data stopped me in my tracks and should probably do the same for you. So here's what she came up with in her research. 95% of us, of all of us, everybody listening, 95% of us believe that we are truly self-aware. When she tested people's self-awareness, which was included their own internal awareness of their own emotions and other people's interpretations of this person's emotions, state, behavior, etc. So internal awareness, external awareness. The number of people who are actually self-aware, truly and fully self-aware through both domains, is 10 to 15%. So nearly all of us believe that we're self-aware, but very few of us actually are. Holy crap. I want you to sit with that gap for a second. It's a solid 85% of people who think they're self-aware are not. It's not a small miss. It's not a small gap. This is nearly the entire room or everyone listening to this episode, which will be multiple thousands of people. Most of us are wrong about our own level of self-awareness. If you find this interesting, please go ahead and read Urich's book. It's titled Insight, and I think it's fascinating. So in her research, Tasha Urich says that the way we fix this sort of gap in self-awareness is to change the way that we talk to ourselves and change the questions we ask of ourselves. So after an emotional reaction, instead of asking ourselves, why did I do that? Why do I feel like this? Why did I snap at my coworker? We start asking what? We start asking what happened? What triggered me? What was my reaction? What would I like to do differently next time? And the thing that she explains about this is that when you are asking why, sometimes you end up creating a justification for your emotion instead of a true understanding about what it means for you, what it means for the other person, and whether or not you want to continue that behavior in the future. So the why question can lead to an easy out, an excuse, a justification. You say, well, I snapped because they were being awful to me, and that's fair. Instead of saying, well, what can I actually do differently next time? What were the specific triggers that led to my reaction? What would I like to say or do in the future that would be different than how I reacted today? The what questions clarify your self-awareness and then help you to move automatically from the self-awareness domain of emotional intelligence to the self-management portion of emotional intelligence. So if you can do that, then congrats, you just managed the first two domains of emotional intelligence. You're getting better at it already. So to sum up today's episode and to repeat things for those of you who are washing the dishes or writing emails while you're listening, emotional intelligence is the ability to check and manage feelings in ourselves and other people. That's it. There's a lot of skills and behavior that go into that, but at its core, emotional intelligence is awareness and management of our own and other people's emotions. And that all starts with self-awareness, which most of us are really crap at, and that's where we need to start. If you and your team are facing burnout, inner office conflict, performance drops, turnover issues, this is exactly the work that I bring to nonprofits and organizations. With keynotes, ongoing advisory work, and soon to come culture assessments, the new book has a culture assessment portion that I am so excited about. I'm going to be working with companies to find the underlying diagnosis for the symptoms that are showing up in your culture so you can fix the real problems instead of just managing the symptoms. I'm so pumped about that. You can find out more at katedonovan.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend that you thought of, post it to social media, feel warmly invited to leave us an Apple review, because this is how we grow and we reach the people that we need to reach in order to come together, middle out approach, and hashtag end burnout culture. All right, see you next time.